Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about a passage in Acts chapter 15, where the disciples come to the conclusion. You know what they said? It seemed good. They used this phrase, it seemed good, three different times in Acts chapter 15, about how to make decisions. And this came to mind recently because my wife and I and my kids, we were trying to make some decisions about school for the upcoming school year coming up here. And the way we made that decision, it just seemed good. We all came into agreement. We were all of one accord. We all got into agreement together. We didn't have a clear leading from God. I've been praying and seeking him about it, but we didn't have a clear leading from him, but it just seemed good. It seemed like the right thing to do. And so sometimes this can be a path for decision-making that we see in the new covenant. So we're going to be seeking God today, just asking for his help today to teach us about this, to train us about this, to help us with these decisions that we face in life. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. But unfortunately, life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out and just had the weight and pressure of life on me. At the time, I was running my personal training business, and my business got started well, but things started to get a little rough. I had some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I remember going for a walk with my wife one evening and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And it wasn't for a lack of seeking. I've been traveling all over the country, studying with some of the best health and fitness experts, reading books, taking courses, mentorships, and not just health and fitness, but all the areas of life. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across the challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And you keep going like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. I've been doing this for a little while. And then one morning, Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And I came to the conclusion the most valuable thing would be teaching or training or wisdom for how to truly live. So I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals or teaching or training to pass on for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances and all the areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God. I began to press into him. From that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up, began to teach me and to train me. But it wasn't the path that I expected. Had to unlearn a lot of my old ways, had to break free of some old patterns. Got put in some impossible looking situations, only to see God just showing up over and over again. To learn how to trust and to rely in him. And over the course of about 10 years, I just documented what he was taking me through, and it turned into this whole program we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around, to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to simply remember all that he did for us and all that that means for us. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these promises that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he went through, all that he suffered. But on the other side, we remember what that means for us, what his sacrifice did for us, connecting us back to God. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture. Coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities, to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We're going to make God our source for everything today. Just relying and trusting on him. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and growing more skilled in them each day. But before we do that, let's remember God has a process. When God took the people from Egypt to the promised land, there was a process that they had to go through. They had to learn to put off their old ways and to embrace this new way of living, this new way of doing things where God is the source of it. First, they get released out of darkness and transferred out. We've been released out of darkness and transferred into the light. Then they go into the wilderness. They just simply took, how'd they get out of the wilderness? Just simply took childlike faith and belief that God had something better for their life and that he could bring them in, because the majority of the people wanted to go back to the way things used to be. Then it requires a step of faith, just the willingness to move forward by faith. And then it's learning to just rest and trust and wait for God's beautiful timing to unfold in our life as he begins to bring these promises to pass in our life. But our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and belief and humility. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to walk in love today. Walking in the light is to walk in love. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. It's one of the easiest ways. Just stay positioned in gratitude and praise today. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ, and God has taken everything that he has and he put it all in Christ. So this day today, we have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, health and energy, his time and finance. We've got purpose and grace for today. It's all in there, available to be received today. But then we've got to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit of it. Which leads us to our second step, which is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light within us. It is going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. We have hearts that understand God's grace. To magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. What do we focus on? What are we thinking about and meditating on all throughout the day? So to magnify the light, you can pick one of these things on this list, or you can pick more than one. And just start thinking about it, meditating on it, keeping it on the front of your mind all throughout the day. Pick a scripture and just roll that scripture over all throughout the day. Magnify his unfailing love or his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. Magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. Or all the things that are going well, looking back at all that God has already done in our life. Because what he started, he's going to finish. It's just keeping these things rolling over and over in our mind, talking about them all throughout the day. This is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to stop magnifying those problems. Instead, we're going to let them go. We're going to cast those cares over onto God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger. Because he's a whole lot better at solving those problems than we are. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could just do things our own way. Pride, rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting. He'll let us do it our own way. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or magnifying the wrong thing, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. Might be the tendency to retaliate or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And one of the biggest indicators, you just feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Pressure is one of your biggest indicators. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it's never going to get better. Low energy is another big symptom of this because that pressure just drains all the energy out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're dreading things in the future. But when we take our position in the light and we're magnifying the light, the pressure comes off. There's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And the pressure comes off because when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. We've got his peace and his joy and his love, his mind and wisdom. His health and energy. We've got more than enough time. It all just begins to flow. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around. Because life throws stuff at us every day, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. And it's learning to recognize that quickly and turn it back around. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You pray that simple prayer, the weight just lifts off you, that pressure lifts. You feel that peace and the joy and the love and that lightness in your spirit. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a statement that we keep rewriting every night before bed in our journals as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life. It might look something like this: God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just helps to navigate us throughout the day when we're tempted to stress or worry, or somebody pushes our buttons throughout the day. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What were the wins for today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we'll see. And then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. And then we're going to stay tuned in and connected with Him throughout the day, because He's trying to navigate us. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take a couple minutes, just 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up again. And then our fourth fundamental: do what you know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do? Because sometimes I was toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen. And I was getting ahead of Him. And the grace wasn't there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind Him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? And I felt like He was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. The first words we see God speak: let there be light. So I've begun to start my days this way. Very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth: let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing sets the tone for the whole day. And then we get connected to God. We start walking out that plan together with Him, in partnership with Him today. Full confidence that He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. Like I said, we were making some decisions in our own life. And we all got in agreement together, and it just seemed like the right decision to make. We didn't have a clear leading from God. We've been praying and seeking about it, but it just seemed good. And then God began to remind me of these scriptures. In Acts chapter 15, it says this in verses 24 through 28. Since we've heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord. Now, we're in a time of year right now. We're getting really close to the day of Pentecost. We're 2 days away, June 5th, I believe, of 2022. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Before Pentecost happened, all the people were of one accord. It seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. Here it is again. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. So just for a little context in these scriptures, the people were worried that they're going to have to follow all of the law of Moses, even though they're believers now. And so all the disciples come together, and it seemed good to them and the Holy Spirit. They were all of one accord. And then they give them the following requirements, that they write them a letter and they give them the requirements. And it's a much reduced thing. It's just got four things on there: don't eat blood, abstain from sexual immorality, things like that. And it gives them a much greater report. And it seemed good to them. Then we see later in Acts chapter 15, verses 33 through 34. And it says, after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And so we see here, the disciples are following this inward leading that they have by the Holy Spirit, where it just seemed good, seemed like the right thing to do. So Heavenly Father, we're asking for your help today. Every day we're faced with decisions. We're asking you to help us, to show us how this applies for us. This phrase, it seemed good, to come to one accord in our decision-making, and help us, just help us in our daily decision-making that we have to make every day of which path to go. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own. But out of his great love for us, he chose to send his one and only Son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself, even unto death on a cross. He's rejected, betrayed, spit on, hit, mocked, ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. It pleased God to crush him. He was destroyed by God for us. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight, all through his one sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And it's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness and transfers us into the light. We can have this new covenant with God, this personal relationship with him. He can establish his covenant with us. We can know him. And that's what it's all about. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Workout stuff. So our message for this month in June of 2022 was on compressing the time. We talked about how more gets done in compressed time. One of the areas I've been thinking about this lately, this is something I've used on and off throughout the years of working in the gym with people, is compressing the time. How could you put a time limit almost on your workout and try to get more work in within that time limit to compress the time down where you get more work done, but you get it done faster? Now, you don't want to rush. You don't want to be in a hurry because you could get bad technique or form that way. But how can you just look for little ways to just compress the time, slice off little seconds here and there? Because if you get more work done in less time, you're increasing the capacity of what your body can do. One of the best ways to see your body transform. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.